this. You should. I would ask somebody, hey, so want to read scripture today? And they go, I haven't read it. And you wonder why I was asking you to read the scripture. You thought it was about reading the scripture. It was that you came unprepared. See, the reason why you know what I'm preaching next week is so that you can read the scripture and be prepared, right? That's kind of the idea of being a church family, and that we're in this together, and that you can read the scripture that the preacher's going to be preaching on, and that the praise team's going to be picking songs about, and you can come prepared, having bathed yourself in the scripture, ready to receive what God has for you. So that's why you know what we're preaching, or at least what I'm preaching on, what the scripture is every week. In the simplest of form, it also unites us as a church. I also want to just make a special notation that Bob and Sue, this is their last week. We will miss you. It has been an honor to serve with you. I was just thrilled that I actually got to play today with you guys. I've always enjoyed hanging out with Bob and playing with Bob over the years and worshiping God. Many hours we spent right here just worshiping God, praising God. We're going to miss you. So just make sure that you have the opportunity that you go and give them a hug and say goodbye and make them cry so that they miss us a whole lot as much as we're going to miss them. This passage in John takes place right after the miracles of feeding the 5,000. Have you ever heard about the miracle of feeding the 5,000? He had a few fishes and a few loaves, and they managed to feed it. So all these people were just amazed with Jesus, and he drew a lot of crowds. And a lot of the crowd wanted to make him king, as in, you know, governmental leader, governmental ruler. And many were ready by force, if necessary, to raise him up to be the leader that would rule. People liked Jesus. I mean, why wouldn't they? They filled his belly, right? He filled their bellies. Why not? He's teaching them. He's teaching them some amazing things that are much different than, you know, the normal rabbis are teaching. And he keeps drawing a crowd. But oftentimes, the crowds are missing the point. And as often as Jesus does, he withdraws by himself. He will leave the crowd. And I can imagine that the crowd can sometimes be overbearing, overwhelming, and he needs to get by himself sometimes. Or, leave this crowd, let's go find another crowd. And so he gets on a boat, heads to Capernaum. The people back on the other side find out that he's left. So what do? They follow after him, right? Going to be a follower of Jesus. I'm a Jesus groupie. Wherever he's going, that's where I'm going, right? So they go off in search of him. And then they find him. Hey, what's the first words? Jesus, hey, when did you get here? Do you find that a little suspicious? I don't know if it's a lot suspicious or a little suspicious. Did Jesus answer the question? He doesn't answer the question. He knows the crowd. Jesus knows the crowd, knows his disciples. Jesus knows you. He knows not just what we do, he knows why we do it. Now just let that sink in for just a moment. Are you ready? Not just, you know, what we do, but why we do it. That we sinned and why we sinned. Did you ever think to yourself that, oh, I must have surprised God with that sin? Like, whoa, that took God by surprise, I'm sure. He would never anticipate that I would do that. You think you surprised God with your sin? Highly unlikely. Have you ever asked yourself, why did I do that? Have you asked yourself, what was I thinking? Have you ever found yourself in that kind of a circumstance and you say, why do I do the things that I do not want to do and I don't do the things I want to do? Many of us, I'm certain, have been there. Jesus is kind of like saying to the crowds, you know, hey, it's really good that you're here looking for me, but I understand why you're here. You're looking for all the wrong reasons. You come to make your bellies full. You come to make your wallets fat. Some prosperity preaching is always good. You come to make me your president, your moral dictator. Jesus' words, very truly, I tell you, you're not looking for me. You are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed. You're not looking for me just because you saw some wonderful miracle that just took place and that I revealed myself to be God, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. That's why you're looking for me. It is great that you're in church today. Love seeing every one of you. Why are you here? Looking for Jesus or looking for charity? Looking for Jesus or looking for drama? Looking for Jesus or looking to judge people and what they wear? Jesus says, you know, you come seeking me with your agenda. You come here trying to force me into something I will not be for you. Or to do something I will not do for you. Here's a question, here's your slide. Are you trying to get Jesus involved with your plans, or are you involved with Jesus and his plans? Are you aware that Jesus has plans? Are you aware that Jesus has plans for you? Have you even taken a moment to consult, maybe, what his plans might be for you? Because they might be pretty different than what you have planned for you. So what is it that you and Jesus are doing together? What are you working on? You and Jesus must be working on something. You and the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within you must be molding you, shaping you. How? Do not work for food that spoils. Well, that's interesting. But for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Well, I know that we're going to need to do some work. There's your first one. We're going to need to do some work. Do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life. So there's some work involved here. The people didn't come because they gained some spiritual insight about Jesus or gained some spiritual knowledge about who he was. They came because he could feed them. Now, far too many people come to Jesus not because of who he is, but because what they think they can get from Jesus. Now, listen, I get it. I get what it is to be hungry. I understand what that is. I understand. I can't hear what you're saying. My stomach's growling too loud. I get that. I get that people have physical needs. People have spiritual needs. Jesus meets your deepest needs. Jesus will meet your deepest needs. And Jesus knows your heart. He knows you. And many of times I have come to Jesus not to give but to take. Not to give of myself, not to give of my time, not to give of my talent, not to give of my treasure, but to see what Jesus would do for me. I need Jesus to do something. Please, Lord, take this pain. Please, Lord, take this heartache. Please, Lord, take this sorrow. Please help me through. Help me do that which I cannot do on my own. You do what only you can do. Please, Lord, provide. Provide. Many times, right there. Wit's end. The Lord knows why you come seeking him. He knows already. He knows why you're here. And if he knows, well, we might as well just be honest. Right? Right up front. Might as well just be honest with Jesus. There's no use trying to convince the Lord of something other than your real reasons. He won't be tricked by it. He won't be tricked by your motives. And listen, your honesty is okay. Your honesty before the Lord is okay. I should have made this a slide. Listen. Better to be truthful about your sin than to lie about your righteousness. Let that bathe for a while. I gave up on me a long time ago. Years and years ago. Really because I was looking for somebody to blame for my life and my tragedies and my problems and my sorrows. My life was in shatters and I had enough of it. So I gave my life over. And I don't know how theological that is, but I really gave it over to say, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's all your fault. From now on, I gave my life to you. It's all your fault. All the mess, all the problems, all your fault. And then he shaped me, molded me, transformed my mind, melted my heart, broke me in my flesh, and I began to understand how he loved me. And he took my life. He took my life. I'm now standing here looking at all your eyeballs. I didn't choose this. God led. So what's he doing for you? I don't know what to do now. God, you get all the credit. I don't know what else to do. Thank you, praise you, glorify you, lay out my life again for you. I don't want me back. I am crucified with Christ. I died. Do we begin to understand what that is? What that looks like? How you do that? They asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? The work of God is this. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. See? Now we're getting somewhere. Lord, now what? I'm going to lay it all out. I'm tired of me. You got to lead me. What do I got to do? Because it's all about doing something, right? We got to do something. What am I going to do? What kind of works am I going to have to do to have you in mind? What is it that you believe in the one he sent? The work of God is this: believe in the one he sent. That's the work that's required. That's what you're asking of me to do. Believe in your son, Jesus Christ. To believe in Jesus when everything else is fading away. To believe in Jesus when I'd rather slice my wrist and put a bullet in my brain. To believe in you when I got no money and there's still more months. To believe in you, that's what you're asking? To believe in you when my body is failing and cancer's the diagnosis. I have to work at believing in you? Oh yeah, you better believe it. You know what the work of God is requires of you? Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Go to work. Get up and go to work. When you can't see the answer, go to work. When you don't understand the chaos that's going on around you, go to work. Get to work. Things are troublesome, go to work. Things are heavy, things are burdensome, go to work. What's the work? Believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. To believe in the one he sent when it looks like failure, when it looks like all is lost, when it looks like you've been feeling like you're abandoned, when you've been persecuted. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. It's going to take work, and it's honestly going to take everything you got to live by faith, not by sight. You have to work at it. You have to work at living a life worthy of the calling. You have to work at trying to be the light in the midst of darkness. You have to work at trying to be salt into the world. You have to work at believing in Jesus. I pray to God you have a good work ethic. I pray to God you have a good work ethic and you show up every day. I pray you never miss a day of work. If you're working for the things of this world, well, you're working for the things that the scriptures would call temporary. You're working for the things of this world that are short-lived, not eternal. Wealth, worldly power, selfish pleasures, they will not satisfy and they cannot fulfill. We can consume and can consume and consume, and we can play and play and play and vacation and pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. America is a very pleasure-based society. It's still not going to be enough. It will not be enough. We can strive and strive, and it'll never fill the hunger that we have. The things of this earth will not fill the void within your soul. No eternal fulfillment comes from temporary things. No eternal fulfillment is found in temporary things. Here's your next slide. See, your soul will not, nor can it be content with only the things of this world. Your soul will not be content with all the things of this world. What does it gain a man? He gains the whole world and loses his soul. See, when you talk about the soul of a person, you're talking about more than that which is temporary. You're talking about more than that which is the flesh that ages and wrinkles and grays. And often this is where the frustration starts to set in. This is where the discontentment starts to rise within your own soul, the dissatisfaction and the unhappiness, because you're focused on a standard of living. And a standard of living becomes the way of life. And you live for that which is temporary. You live for that which is going to burn. You live for that which is going to rot. You live for that which is going to fade away. You live for that which is going to age and wrinkle and turn to dust. Your soul will not be content with only fulfillment in temporary things. You can get stuck in this world trying to fulfill something bigger than this world. Your soul bigger than this world. Your soul beyond this world, right? You've heard this before. It's a God-sized hole in your soul. A God-sized hole in your soul that only God can fulfill. Only the bread of eternal life can satisfy the hunger that burns within you. And it takes work to stay committed to your spiritual life. It takes work to stay committed to your spiritual life. You stay committed to your physical life. Get up this morning, comb your hair, brush your teeth, put your shoes on. You're feeding yourself, changing yourself, bathing yourself, finding a place that's safe and warm and sheltered, or in this heat, someplace cool and sheltered. And we work and we work and we work at our physical selves, and we work and we work and we work to fulfill all the physical desires that we have in our own hearts and our own minds. What about your spiritual self? What about your soul? How much time did you put into your soul this week? As opposed to how much time on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram? How about your spiritual life? Is it worth your investing into? Is it worth your consideration? Your soul's going to live longer than your body. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is, come on. Faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is. You know, it takes work to love the unlovable. It takes work to love this world. Right? It takes work to love the tedious. It takes work to love the strange. Some of you are pretty strange. I'm not saying who. I'm just saying. Jesus tells us to work towards that which is eternal. We spend too much time living for the physical world and not enough time living for the spiritual one. We feed our bellies, but we do not feed our souls. And once again, Jesus is just, he's doing something simplistic. He's not complicated. We make it very complicated. But he's pretty simplistic. He's trying to convey spiritual truths. to a group of worldly-minded people. Feed my belly. I have physical needs. Okay, he does. Well, what do I have to do? I know I have to do something. I know I have to work out my salvation. I know, what do I have to do? Give me something to do. Please, I need something to do. Well, believe in me. He's trying to get us to elevate our thoughts to the true things that matter, the things that far outlive this world. People are looking in all the wrong places for the fulfillment of their own soul. They're looking in all the wrong places for the fulfillment. They're looking in all the wrong places for the satisfaction and the peace and the purpose. The life that God has for you is attainable. The life that God has for you is attainable. The plans that he has for you, you can walk and work. It's not, oh God, where are you? It's more like God going, where are you? Adam! Where are you? Are you working for the food that perishes and spoils? Or are you working for the food that leads to eternal life? Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Who gives the eternal life? The Son of Man. Who gives you the food? The Son of Man. God himself. Who gives you the work to do? God himself. What are we to do? Go to work. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So, work. Here's your next one. Believe. We got to believe. We got to work at believing. What does that mean? What tangible things are there? What kind of work can you do to please God? Well, the scriptures are clear. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no. What else? Yeah, no, believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, but what else can I do? I know I have to earn my passage. Well, believe in his son, Jesus Christ. No. Can I wash some dishes? Can I vacuum the floors? Can I clean some windows? Can I dust the cobwebs off the chandelier? Give me something to do. I got something for you to do. Believe in his son, Jesus Christ. Continue to seek him. He will guide you into what to do. He will guide you to wash some dishes or get the cobwebs off the chandeliers. But it's not about your doing. It's about your believing in him. Jesus is describing a spiritual action. We're all looking for the physical act. Jesus is describing the actions of your soul. He's describing something deep within you. More than something you do, it's something that you are. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus, not just because I can feed your belly, but because of who I am. So, it'd be like saying, you know, Wendy, do you love your spouse? Prove it. Spencer, do you love your kids, right? You love little Spencer? Show me. How am I supposed to believe you? See, you we're looking for some physical act, and it's way beyond that, isn't it? It's way beyond that. It's not something you do, it's something you are. It's not like I've completed a task, it's a way of life. Can you believe in this Jesus? Can you believe in this Jesus? See, what's amazing about Jesus, he didn't even make his teachings about his teachings. Jesus' life really even wasn't about Jesus, it was about you. But Jesus' life, he made himself the point. I am. He made himself the point. Jesus had great things to teach. He had great things to preach. He had great things to share about the kingdom of God and about money and about the law and about the Pharisees. He had great things to teach us. Yet he always wanted us to focus on him. Focus on me. His ministry focus was himself, not his doctrine. The ministry focus was himself, not the dogma. The ministry focus of Jesus was about Jesus, not the rules. It was always about Jesus. It was always about him. I am. Believe in me. I am the way. I am the light. I am the light. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the Messiah. I am God. Believe in me. You believe in God the Father? Amen. Believe also in me. I and the Father are one. Can you take Jesus at his word? Can you believe Jesus is the word become flesh, the spirit that became flesh? Can you believe he will do what he says he can do? Can you trust him with your soul? Can you leave this world's way of thinking behind and trust in his ways of thinking? Can you trust him in his leading? Can you believe in him as your savior? Can you believe that Jesus is reliable, that he will protect you, that he will heal you, that he will answer prayer, that he will guide you, that he will provide you with eternal life? This is the work of God. Believe in the Son. The will of God. Believe in the Son. Believe in the Son. Believe in the Son that I have sent, and you shall have eternal life. Believe in the Son that I have sent. Come hell or high water, believe in the Son that I have sent. Come inflation and more gas prices, believe in the Son Jesus Christ. Come the president that you didn't vote for, believe in Jesus Christ. Come more world war, believe in Jesus Christ. Are you ready to do some work? Here's some work for you. Repeat a prayer with me if you would. Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus, whom you sent. Forgive me my sins. Fill me with your spirit. Help me walk in your ways. Amen. If you said it, I hope you believe it. Belief requires obedience. The belief will lead you to work at it. If you believe Jesus is who he says he is, act like it. Live like it. If you love your spouse, act like it. Live like it. If you love your children, act like it. Live like it. You love your church family? Act like it. Live like it. See, what you believe will manifest itself in your life, right from your soul. God already knows what you're going to do, but he knows why you're going to do it. Your belief will manifest itself in your life. Whether you trust him or not, it shows. Whether you follow him or not, it shows. And many will want the get out of jail free card, or I'm sorry, the get out of hell free card, right? They'll claim Jesus as their savior, but never as their Lord. And I want to issue caution. Here's a warning. Here's a warning. Here's your next slide. Warning, warning. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who will? The one who does the will of my Father in heaven. What's the will my Father in heaven? What's the will of the Father in heaven? Believe in my Son, Jesus Christ. What's the will of the Father in heaven? Believe in my Son. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter. Only the ones that do the will of my Father. The will of the Father, believe in my Son. That's his will. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Messiah. Confess with your lips. Live it every day and every moment. And here's the people, the crowd being the crowd. They're just witnessing again. They just witnessed this miraculous feeding of the 5,000. And that's not enough. Because the things of this world, the things that are physical and temporary, that's not enough. It will never satisfy. It'll never be enough. You'll always want more. And they ask for more. They ask for more signs. They ask for more miracles. So I don't know. People, I don't know, church, I don't know What is it going to take? What is it going to take? More blessings in your life before you fully believe? What's it going to take? How many more answered prayers do you need? How much more forgiveness do you need upon your life? How much more grace? How much more mercy? How many more years of protection over your life do you need before you finally give it all up? Before you finally crucify all of your life and turn all of your life over to Him and believe in Him? How many times are you going to have to go to church? How many church sermons are you going to have to hear? How many songs are you going to have to sing? What will it take for you to give Him all of your life? In every circumstance. Every circumstance. When will you trust Him with the tithe? When will you trust Him with your children? When will you give up your control and let Him lead? Jesus is the Word. Amen? Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the source of life. He's the creator of all that is visible and invisible. He's the creator of the physical and the spiritual. Well, Lord, I need some bread. Give me some of that bread. The bread that leads to eternal life. I need you to fill my soul so that I'm not worried about all this physical stuff in this world. I want to live bigger than this world. You tell me my soul is better and bigger than this world and that it'll last longer than this world. Jesus would say, I am the bread. Come and partake of me. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am all that you need. I am the fulfillment of all that you desire within the very depths of your soul. What are you looking for? Here I am. I am. I am. I am. What are you looking for? I'm right here. Believe in me. I'm all the hope you need. And it's not about something. It's not about some law. It's not about some rule. It's not about some doctrine. It's not about some denomination. It's about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. Believe in Him. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven to do my will, not to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus' own will. Please, Father, if there's another way, I'd rather not go to the cross. If there's another way, I'd rather not be beaten and bleed and suffer. But not my will, your will. Jesus' own life wasn't about, it was about, what's your life about? What's your life about? And this is the will of Him who sent me. The Father's will, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me. The Father gives you over to believe in the Son. Believe and receive. There's your last one. The great truth is this. The great truth is this. God has opened your eyes. It's the last slide. Receive. God Himself draws you into His presence. God Himself draws you into a moment just like this, this day, this hour. And God is drawing people unto Himself. Those that respond will receive. They shall be lifted up on the last days. And I'm not so sure that it's not getting close to the last days. I know it's closer than it was yesterday. I can say that. It sure feels like the end is near. Wars, rumors of wars, degradation of society. Professional ethics, like nowhere. People out to serve their own pocketbooks, thieves, robbers, murderers, earthquakes, fires, windstorms. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of all the worldliness, in the midst of all that is temporary, who's looking out for you? Jesus. Who's looking out for you? Jesus. Who's looking out for you? One more time, come on.
Jesus.
And those that believe receive. Those that believe receive. They receive his assurance. They receive the Holy Spirit of God. They receive the fulfillment and the filling of their very own souls. And then you begin to understand. And then you begin to see the realms of glory. We talked about some of them in Sunday school today. Glory. You begin to see realms of glory and how God moves, how God works, much different than the way man thinks. You begin to understand and see the realms of glory, not with your eyes, with your soul. With your soul. God himself imparted himself upon you that you might be able to see. And listen, we're all in the process of sanctification and we're all in the process of growing up. We're all in the process of working at it. Just because, are you ready? I should have made this a slide too. Just because you made a U-turn doesn't mean you've reached your destination. We're still working on it. We're still working at believing in the depths of what that means. Keep working on your belief. Keep working on your spiritual side of life. Keep filling your soul with the bread of life, with the things that are eternal. And you'll live long and you'll prosper. How's that go? Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity to just be here with my brothers and sisters and pray that you would continue to minister into our hearts. Continue, Father, to lead, guide, and inspire each and every one of us. Father, we sing to you, we praise you, we glorify you, we declare you are our Lord. We pray unto you, Father. Fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Father, that as we leave this place, as we mingle into the world, Father, we would work at believing in you, regardless of what's going on around us. We would work at seeing how you're at work in and around our lives. Give us the eyes to see the realms of glory that are all around us, Father. And we might know peace that surpasses understanding. We might have wisdom and knowledge and great discernment. And Father, that we might serve you and serve you well, that we might bring you honor and glory. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Mr. Elder?
If our men would prepare themselves to take the offering. So just a word, Pastor said a little something about a tithe in there. I don't know whether you caught that, but you know, what was told to me many years ago when it comes to tithing, it was a hard lesson for me. If we're gonna trust the Lord with our eternal security, where we go when we die, it's important to trust him with our daily finances. And part of this giving thing, part of that whole thing, is about turning our finances over to him. That's a part of it. Maybe you just think about that this week. Our God and Father, thank you for this message this morning. Thank you for all your blessings to us. We do return to you now a little bit of what we've, our first fruits. We ask that you take them, bless them, multiply them many times over for your work. In Jesus' name, amen.